Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 70. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and I'm here with my co-host, Michael Morale. Michael, how are you today?
Doing great, Kevin. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'm really excited for this one today. We have something really special for you guys out there. Today, we are here with Ron Borg-Schulte, and he is the owner of Partners in Medicine, which is a company that works with Canova Robotics. And as many listeners out there know, anyone who's listened to this podcast or followed us on our main website, you know that Canova Robotics is the developer of the Jayco robotic arm. This is a device that I use in my daily life and that a number of other SMAers do as well. And so we are here right here with a representative from the company who's going to give us the ins and outs of how that technology is manufactured and all sorts of stuff. So, Ron, really excited to have you here today.
It's a pleasure to join you, gentlemen. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. This will be a great discussion. So before we get started, if everyone could just please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a new FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. So Ron, just to get started, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background and what you do with Canova?
Sure. So I started out my career in aerospace industry, worked for McDonnell Douglas, which is now part of Boeing, for 9 years. And then I moved into the implantable pacemaker and defibrillator business and served as a representative and a regional manager for a company there. And then back in 2007, I went back to school, got a master's in international business and started Partners in Medicine, which is a U.S. distributor for foreign manufactured medical products. And one of those companies that we work for, foreign companies we work for and with, is Canova Robotics, and they're based out of Montreal, Canada. And they make the Jayco robotic arm, as well as the O540, which is a powered arm support. And we're about to release the O110, which is a mechanical arm support.
That's great. Yeah, and like I said, you know, I've had my arm for about 5 years now, which is crazy to think. And it's come a long way in terms of like that company's growth. And I'm sure it's been incredible to see that growth and what that relationship is like. So, Ron, when it comes to developing assistive technologies like this for disabled individuals, for the SMA community, what are some of the biggest factors that come into play? I mean, obviously, like, I know you're not working, one of the engineers at Canova, worked with them for years now. What's kind of that process like?
Wow, it's got so many different factors that come into play. First and foremost is safety for the client. And then we go to usability of the product. What can it do and how easy is it for the individual to use? We also look at the breadth of the client base for that product. Who can use it? How large is the audience for a particular device? How can we make it so that more individuals can use it? Of course, because they are medical devices, they require registration or approval from the FDA. So you have to factor in the regulatory part of it quite a bit as well.
For sure. And, you know, you have the Jayco arm has been on the market for how many years now? Like, I got mine in 2015. Do you know when it launched?
In the U.S., it started about 2014, so you were one of the early adopters.
Right.
The company had been around longer than that, but they did not enter the U.S. market immediately. As you can imagine, in the U.S., you have to have a perfect product to be able to get into this market. And so they started out distributing in Canada and over in Europe, and perfected the device, and then they were ready to introduce it to the U.S.
Sure. And thinking back to like when you first saw that product, saw the Jayco arm, What was your initial impression?
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was absolutely blown away, and I went up to the headquarters, the people up there, it's a very young company, very young folks up there, but huge passion. And those are the two things that sold me on the company: watching a video, the initial video, and speaking with the people when I went up there for a couple of days, and I was hooked.
Yeah. Oh, I remember, I mean, you know, I'm very close to this, obviously, having had one for several years now, but I remember first time I tried it on and, I worked with the demo arm and, when I got mine, I think there were about 20 in the U.S. and one was owned by NASA, which is crazy to think. And it's come a long way since then. Michael, I want to turn it over to you for a sec, because obviously I'm very close to, this product. I've had it for several years now, but, being on the, like, outside of it, and I know you haven't tested demo before, what kind of questions do you have in terms of, like, the capabilities or, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, like, for your needs and, like, what kind of questions do you have for Ron about all this?
Well, you know, I think the concept of that Jayco robotic arm fascinates me, because there are so many of us that have SMA, and it's, I know it's not just the SMA community, but those of us that do have SMA, we tend to have very weak upper extremities, you know, arms, shoulders, back, and neck. So we tend to lose the ability to lift something up to our mouth, either food or drink. And I think just the sheer technology that's involved with this Jayco robotic arm just blows me away. I saw Kevin in 2018 here in Dallas when we both attended the Cure SMA convention, and that was the first time I'd ever seen that arm. And it was somewhat scary to look at it first because I didn't know what it was. And then Kevin had a little cup that had some cereal in it, just some dry cereal. And he kept lifting this thing up to his mouth, and I was wondering what he was doing. I thought he was drinking something, but he was eating dry cereal. And when he told me and he showed me how he did this, it just blew me away. I was fascinated with that, because that was about the time that I had lost the ability to feed myself. So I've actually been thinking about getting the Jayco arm. The problem is I'm sitting in a 20-year-old electric wheelchair, and it doesn't have the rail that it would need to fit properly, and doesn't have all the connections. Basically, it's got two motors, four wheels, and a joystick, and praying that nothing breaks down on it. But I am getting a new wheelchair now, and so it'll be the Permobil M3 Corpus, and I know that it's adaptable to that chair. The only question that I would have, and I've been asked this by a few people that follow me on my own channel, because I'm documenting my journey with regards to SMA, is that they were wondering, are they ever going to come up with a Jayco arm that can be fixed to a surface? An example of that would be me. I sit at my desk all day. I'm usually at my desk for 10 hours a day. The only time I leave is when I go eat lunch, or if I have to go to the bathroom, or at night, whenever I go to bed. But are they looking at the possibility of a Jayco robotic arm that can be fixed to a desk? That way it's not connected to the chair. Not that that's a really big issue for a lot of people, but for myself, it would be, because of the way that my desk is positioned. I wouldn't have enough room to get in my desk with that Jayco arm.
Right. So, Jayco can be mounted to a desk or a table. That's possible. Currently, when we mount it to your wheelchair, we're using your existing controller that you're using to drive the chair. So you use a joystick. Other people use a sip and puff or a head array or a foot switch, whatever they're using. We tie into that same electronics. So if you wanted it mounted on something other than the wheelchair, then you would have to have a separate controller for that. So a separate joystick on the desk, which is certainly doable as well. the reason that we rarely see that is that most folks want to have Jayco with them wherever they go. When they go to eat, or when they go outside, or when they go shopping, or to a restaurant, or even to watch television and pick up a remote or pick up their phone, they like it having it right there with them all the time. But it can be done either way.
That's really
okay,
cool.
Because that is definitely something that I would look into. Again, I'm not saying that I wouldn't want it with me all the time. I just think, you know, since I sit in one spot the majority of the day, I mean, I go out a couple of times a week maybe, but usually I've got my caregivers with me. So if I need to eat something or drink something, they can help me. But for someone like Kevin, it definitely gives him the freedom to move around and use that arm whenever he needs to. So anyway, thank you for the answer. I appreciate that.
And we do have some for folks who spend a fair amount of time in bed. We'll put one on a floor mount next to their bed, and also put a mount on their wheelchair. So it's lightweight. It can be moved from one spot to the other in under a minute. So that gives the individual the ability to use it whenever they want in that circumstance. So you could do something similar with the desk mount.
That's great. And so you just get like an external control then, because to operate it if it's mounted somewhere else?
Correct.
Yeah, gotcha. That's really cool. And actually, I don't know if you can verify this, but I remember, I have to make a nerdy reference and Michael's going to roll his eyes, but in like Supergirl season one, there was an episode where I think they used a Jayco arm in like one of the labs there. And it was like that. It wasn't, you know, for a wheelchair user. It was like mounted in some kind of like science lab, and one of the people there was using it. So that was a really cool example. But I know it was a Jayco arm because it looked exactly like mine. So that was a really cool like reference to see it in pop culture. But yeah.
I had my chance to go out there to Hollywood and learn all about Hollywood folks and how that all operates. We had lent them the device. Our intention was to see them develop a character that would have this mounted to their wheelchair and use it the way that we like to see it used in real life, rather than kind of this futuristic setup that they were more interested in. So we gave it to them for a season, and then we pulled it back.
Gotcha. That's why. Oh, I'm so glad to know that story though. Now, because I know I remember watching that a few years ago. I was like, nah, that's. But that, yeah. It's,
yeah, that is a crazy world out there, man, I tell you.
It is. It's really cool. Well, hey, Ron, before we continue, if we could pause just for a sec for another brief word from our sponsor, and we will be right back.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A new treatment has just been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all of the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this new treatment option a reality. To learn more about this new treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
Okay. Well, Ron, you touched on this a little bit, and we were talking this a little bit before the recording, but what's been your experience working with clients in the SMA community? And like, you know, because normally on this podcast, we have people who are already well invested in the community. But speaking as someone who, you know, has come in and only learned about it more in recent years, are there any differences you see with like SMA clients versus anyone else, just in terms of like their ability to use the arm or like logistics or anything like that you want to speak about?
So the arm gets used across a very wide, broad list of diagnoses, including muscular dystrophy, spinal cord injury, Duchenne, cerebral palsy, SMA, ALS. So we really see a wide community that are using the devices. One of the biggest differences we see is spinal cord injury. Individuals have had use of their arms and hands and then have lost it. With many of the other progressive diseases, they lose it early in their life or never had it. And so when we train, we have to train a little differently because of just the way your brain is wired, to think about using your arm. If you've never used your arm or hand, it takes a little bit longer to figure out. But the SMA community has been very, very receptive to Jayco and very good at picking up on it. It's really pretty amazing to us. You know, we'll have somebody drinking with Jayco within 10, 15 minutes of putting it on their chair. So while it's a fairly intuitive device, it does require some brain power. And it's always a pleasure to work with the SMA folks because the uptake is really quite fast.
Sure. I remember when I got mine, or when I tested the demo out, they were saying that, or the technician who I worked with said that people who play video games regularly tend to adapt really well because it requires a lot of that hand-eye coordination and some of those skills that you get through gaming apply to the Jayco arm as well.
Yeah, we see almost the younger the client, the faster the uptake.
Uh-huh.
Just because the younger clients have been using joysticks for so long. So old guys like me, you know, it took me 2 weeks to figure out, you guys are figuring out after a day. So it is really kind of fun to see. We've had clients as young as 5 years old with these Jaycos.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool, because I think, like, when I went to go test the demo out, there was one guy who was maybe, like, high school age. Like, I was 22, so that was, like, that was kind of the general demographic I've seen is, like, teenagers, young adults, and some older adults. But that's really cool to see, you know, children as young as that being able to use it. So
what we teach our reps is, if it's a kid, don't even bother trying to tell them what to do. Number one, they're not listening. Number two, they're already ahead of you. You can't get the words out fast enough. So.
Right. That seems like, yeah, pretty good mindset to go in with. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And Ron, too, speaking on that, so like just in the time that I've had my arm, the, like you said, the market has expanded. And like, I mean, now insurance companies have started to cover the expenses. So what advice would you have if someone is just looking at a Jayco arm, whether they be in the SMA community or just, you know, any other disability, what steps should they take to go about trying one out and acquiring one financially and all that?
Sure. So the first thing that we look at, we ask two questions. Are you a good wheelchair driver? And do you have a strong desire to be independent? If you're not a good wheelchair driver, you're not going to be a good Jayco operator. It requires, you know, that level of skill. And then secondly, the desire to be independent. Jayco will never accomplish tasks faster than somebody standing next to you and doing it for you. Mm-hmm. So if that doesn't bother you, or if you're comfortable with that, you know, you may not benefit from having a Jayco. But if you have a desire to do things on your own, you don't like to ask for help, or you want to live independently or be able to go out on your own, that's what we look for. So for insurance purposes, right now, our success rate in getting these covered by insurance is about 60%, 60. And I'm talking about private insurers and Medicaid. Medicare will not consider this device at this point, but everybody else will. The VA covers it. We've seen vocational rehab, cover it as well. So if you are interested in it, we don't provide any device to anybody until they try it out and make sure that it's correct for them. So if you want to go through insurance, you would have a device evaluation with a therapist or a physician. So occupational therapist, physical therapist, or physician. We have a rep comes, mounts the device to your chair, shows you how to use it, brief training, and then you try it out for an hour or 2 hours. And within that time, both you and the therapist will be able to figure out if this device is going to be beneficial for you. And then after that, it's a matter of submitting the paperwork to the insurance company. The device is new, it's expensive. It's not unusual for it to be denied initially. About half of our Jayco users were initially denied. So we have a family advocate that handles all of the appeal process with the client. And if you are persistent, there's a pretty good chance that you would end up with the device.
That's great. Well, you know, I just saw like on Shane Bracall and Hannah Bracall's YouTube channel, you know, Shane was trying to get one and had been denied the first time, but they made a video, I think a couple weeks ago, that they got the insurance approved the second time, and so he should be getting an arm, hopefully within a few months or so. I actually met him at the SMA conference last year, and that was the first time he had seen one, so he saw mine, and of course, he had me do all kinds of crazy tricks with it, so that was awesome.
Yeah, actually, Shane is getting his next week.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. So by the time probably this podcast goes out, it'll, yep. And oh, I know he'll be making plenty of videos about that. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. That'll be fun for him as well.
That's great.
Hey, Ron, let me ask you a quick question. You said that this is covered under Medicaid, but not yet covered under Medicare. I'm on Medicare myself. Do you see, I'm asking you to gaze into your crystal ball here, but do you think Medicare will eventually cover this?
So to get Medicare to cover it, there is no device like this in their system. So it would require a new code, what's called a HCPCS code. We attempted to get that code a few years ago, and they denied us a code. They never really tell you why, but it appeared that we didn't have enough market penetration yet. So it wasn't necessarily seen as standard of care. So I don't see that changing in the very near future, because frankly, we're not going to submit to them. You may say, well, why are you discriminating against us Medicare folks? If Medicare assigns the code, they also get to assign the price, the reimbursement, and there's a decent chance that they would set a reimbursement level so low that we couldn't sell the device to Medicare clients. And once the private insurers find out that the reimbursement rate, they require the same price, and so then nobody gets the arm. So it's kind of a strange, evil insurance world out there. But I'm being just brutally honest with you.
Right.
I don't see us in 2021 having a code and having Medicare cover it.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
For folks who have Medicaid as a secondary, depending on the type of Medicaid they have, we can often go ahead and submit to Medicaid, even though Medicare won't give a denial because they won't even consider it. So the best thing to do is just contact your rep and let them take a look at the insurance situation and figure it out for you.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're no strangers to dealing with insurance mess. So it's like everyone in the disabled community can speak to that.
We started out at 0% about four years ago.
Right.
And been working our way up steadily. So our success rate is improving. Our time from evaluation to funding is improving. So we are making our way up the chain. It is our only focus is to make upper limb robotics standard of care in this country. That's what Partners in Medicine is driving to do here. And so we're not going to stop until we get to that point. These devices should be available to anybody, just like a wheelchair is available to anybody who has a lower limb disability. A robotic arm or a powered arm support or arm support of some type should be available to every individual who has an upper limb disability. So we are going to get there. We're not going to stop until we do. So once we get up to about 95% success rate, then I'll take a vacation.
Well, hey, I commend you for all the work you've been doing. I mean, Yeah, just, I mean, like when I got mine, we did a GoFundMe, which was very doable, but, you know, it's great just to see that we're at 60%, you know, approval right now. That's huge. And Ron, I just want to touch on something you mentioned earlier where you said that, like, when you're looking for clients and you want to make sure that their number one goal is to be independent. And one of our content creators, Deanne Runge, who makes YouTube videos and does forum moderating for us, like, she made a video about after she tested the Jayco arm, and she talked about how prior to that, she was initially hesitant about even pursuing it because she thought that anytime, like, buy, you know, acquiring devices like this is actually, like, for her, in her mentality, was, like, kind of cheating and, like, going for, like, lack of independence because, like, she wants to do as much on her own without any kind of assistance whatsoever. And, like, and I thought, you know, I get that for sure. And her mentality changed after she got the arm because she realized that it is very much in conjunction with that mentality of wanting to be independent. So I'm just curious if, like, you've seen any other clients who may be like that or what you would say to them. I know it's kind of a tough question, but it was an interesting point she brought up. Yeah.
So I'll say to them what I say to the insurance companies. You pay for power wheelchairs. Now, a person who needs a wheelchair who can't operate a manual wheelchair, they could have a caregiver push them around. But instead, you give them a power wheelchair. Why? What's the difference? The difference is independence.
Right.
Why should it be any different with upper limb disability versus a lower limb disability? Yes, somebody can feed you, somebody can get you a drink, somebody can scratch an itch for you, somebody can push your glasses up, somebody can pick up something that you drop, but wouldn't you like to be able to do that yourself? That level of independence. So if you think about it in terms of upper limb versus lower limb, I think it kind of brings the story home. I mean, we've had power wheelchairs and manual wheelchairs for decades, but very little has been done for upper limb disability. I don't know why, but when I got into it, I was shocked by that. I said, we got to do something here. So that's when the robotic arm got introduced and then followed up with the powered arm support, which is a device for individuals who have use of their hands, but they don't have the ability to lift their arms. So it's a powered exoskeleton. So we're just trying to bring the upper limb world up to speed with where the lower limb world is. And I mean, I've never had a better job to put this on somebody's chair at an evaluation, a demo, and watch them light up and watch their family and their caregivers light up when they see what they can do. It's just phenomenal.
It is. I mean, you know, for the longest time when I was struggling to find something to help me, you know, make up for, you know, my decaying arm strength, you know, I never thought something like this would come about, and it's incredible. And kind of on that note too, like, I mean, in your experience, in your career, you touched on that, just that technologies for, upper limb disabilities are being developed. Are there any other ways you've seen just like the scope and of, the assistive technology market change over the years for people with disabilities and where you think it's headed?
So you certainly see robotics coming into play in more fields, as well as some artificial intelligence. That is a tough nut to crack when it comes to the human body. You know, we see this in devices designed to assist individuals walk. Again, it's a really, the human body is very sophisticated in the way it moves. So I think both robotics and AI are coming into play. We're seeing a lot of attempts to augment movement, to speed things up, using object recognition and space recognition, whether you're talking about being able to maneuver a wheelchair without actually having to input that it determines, you know, where is safe to go, those kinds of things. We've also seen some initial development of a wheelchair. Obviously, you've seen wheelchairs that are climbing stairs, not standard of care yet, but maybe heading in that direction, as well as wheelchairs with a built-in lift. so that potentially a person could lift themselves out of their wheelchair or into their wheelchair. Wow. So it's the technology continues to explode. It also tends to get more complex. There's a lot that goes into getting any product out there that'll be beneficial.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, it just seems like this sky's the limit at this point. It's you know, I'm really excited to see what will come down the road and to see more people get Jake arms so I can have, like, arm wrestling fights at SMA conferences, because that's my ultimate, you know. I met one guy last year at one, and we got a picture and everything, but where it looked like we were arm wrestling, but I want to see, like, just, you know, explode there so we can do all kinds of crazy things once we get back to in-person conferences, for sure. You know.
I'd like to see a robotic arm on every power wheelchair. When you start thinking about who uses a power wheelchair, you know, an awful, awful lot of those folks would benefit from a robotic arm.
Yeah.
If they want one.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, even if you don't have as severe, limited arm strength, you know, like I do or others in the SMA community do, I mean, just being able to pick up objects off the floor when you drop them, you know, when, you know, you don't have to lean down. I mean, things like that, it's incredible, you know, so just the, you know, the possibilities and the independence it gives you. So I totally agree. I would love for every SMAer out there to get one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just, you know, think about even opening a door.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge.
Because of the footprint of a wheelchair, it's very difficult to do, even if you could reach out, but, you know, using a robotic arm to open a door, or push a, you know, a elevator button or a door panel. It's really nice.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Ron, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. This is a great conversation. And Michael, did you have anything else you would like to add on?
No, I think this was just a fascinating interview. Ron, thank you for taking the time out of your day. You had made a comment about that this arm could be mounted next to a bed. And that kind of scared me, because that would give me more reason to eat while I'm in bed. And I would probably gain way too much weight. But I will tell you that just the thought of having one of these arms for someone who is losing their ability to do some of the things that maybe they used to be able to do, or like myself, have lost that ability, that would love to be able to gain just a little bit more independence. What you guys are doing in your company is just outstanding. And I applaud you. I think I just really wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. We've got a heck of a team in place here. Intelligent folks who have huge passion. Most of our reps spend their lives in hotels and airplanes and rental cars to be able to reach all of the folks who are interested. So it's a tough life in that regard. But I tell you, once you put one on, you know, just like when we install Shane's next week, it buoys you back up again, and it makes you want to go out there and do more of it. And we're working very hard to both increase awareness and increase our success in getting these things covered, so that one day everybody knows what a robotic arm is and everybody who wants one can have one.
That's great. And also, for our listeners out there, if you're subscribed to the SMA News Today forums, Ron is now a member there, so if you'd like to ask any further questions or reach out to him, yeah, he's available there. But Ron, thank you again so much. This is great. And again, for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to this podcast. You can join our forums page, check out our YouTube channel, and follow everything on our main website at smanewstoday.com for all the latest research, news, perspectives in the SMA community. We would love to hear from you. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.